Come, let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation.
Amen.
Let's come before his presence with songs of thanksgiving. Let's shout joyfully to him in song. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings.
Hey!
How great is our God?
Yes.
Beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega.
Yes.
There is no time. We can't count him in time. Maybe we can say from when we were born, but he was born way before you.
Yes, he was.
I have your Sunday morning responsive reading. And it will come from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter and the 13th verse, and the 53rd chapter and the 12th verse. See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. And he will startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not been told. They will understand what they had not heard about. Congregation.
Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way.
He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighted him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins.
But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people.
He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands.
Together. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and readers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for another time, Lord, to thank you. Lord, we thank you for the many times, Lord, that you have poured your spirit out on us, Lord. Because, Lord, we didn't deserve anything, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for dying. We thank you for giving your life for us, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you because there was no one else who was holy, who was sinless, who could do it.
Lord, you poured out all of your blood, Lord, for us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to love others like you love, Lord. Help us, Lord, to forgive others like you forgive, Lord. Help us, Lord, to magnify your name in everything that we do, Lord. Praise your name. God, we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Brokenness. The definition of brokenness is the spiritual state by which one is disarmed of one's self-dependence and pride, leaving one disabled and in desperate need of help, thereby making one a viable conduit for the glory of Christ. Brokenness makes us open and teachable to the handiwork and heart of God. Meditate on this as we sing this next song.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want for me. It's what I long for. Brokenness, it's what I need. Brokenness is what you want for me.
Conform it.
What God wants from all of us, because he's holy.
Yeah.
And so we need to be holy.
Yeah.
Because he's robed us in his righteousness. And Christ died so that we can be holy.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see you today.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Shine!
Open the eyes of your heart so that you can see things the way they really are. Every time we sing this song, it reminds me of in Revelation where John saw everybody, all people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue around God's throne, and they sang, "Holy, holy, holy." What a privilege it is that we can come into the presence of the Lord whenever we choose to. We shouldn't leave his presence, actually. He should be with us at all times. He said he would never leave us or forsake us.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's time for our communion.
All right.
The Lord showed me something that I had read probably 1,000 times, but I never really paid attention to it. See, we learned in the teacher training class that you got to read with a purpose.
Amen.
And it's in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Make no mistake that Jesus understood his mission way before he got to that Passover meal. But he was letting his brothers know that I'm eager to eat this meal with you before my suffering begins, because my body will be broken for you.
Yeah.
Take and eat.
Yeah.
Then after they broke the bread in symbolism to his body being broken for them, because it was physically broken for him, his skin and everything. But he shed all his blood for us, literally, to pay for our sins. That's what the Passover was. The blood covering us, those who were in that household, taking drink. Amen.
Seems the Holy Spirit has a theme in song service today. The world will only see how great our God is when his representatives let him shine. I'm going to say that again because some folks might not have heard me. The world will only see how great our God is when his representatives let him shine.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See, we are holy, we are righteous, as she said, because of what he has done. So he's in us, he's with us, to be seen out there. But we all get it, we need help. So we have to get him to open our eyes so we can see him. and know what we're supposed to look like and talk like and walk like. But praise God that he's not left us without his spirit to empower us to live. But sometimes we have to ask him for a special to breathe on us.
Just reminds me of back in Genesis when God breathed into man and he was given life. And then in the New Testament, after Jesus had died and was resurrected, and he met with his disciples. He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. He gave us new life. Amen.
So amazing what you just did. And the reason why is I was just sitting there basking, like I know all the rest of you were, in the Holy Spirit and in the Lord. And I was going to ask the question when I got up here, wow, I wonder what it's like for the praise and worship team, because you all are ushering us into a place, but I wonder if you were also experiencing it the way we were. And when you said what you just said, it answered the question. Wow. God is just so good. We are all here together on one accord. And we continue to get evidence of that. So we have sang songs of praise and worship. We have went to the table and got our supper. And now it's time for us to feast on the word. So Pastor is going to continue on in his sermon series of Galatians. And this will be part 6. And he's asked me to read some passages from chapter 6. I will be reading verses 1 through 10. But he's asked me to do it in sections today. So I'll start out reading the first 2 verses. And then when he's ready for me to continue to read the other verses, I will do so from my seat. All right. So the first 2 verses reads as follows, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. So, we are indeed beyond blessed. You're here this morning, able to hear from the Lord, able to fellowship with like-minded believers. It really doesn't get any better than that, does it? Okay. And so now here comes Pastor O, continuing in the series on the book of Galatians. Today he is speaking on a passage with the subheading of, we harvest what we plant. I'm all for that. What about you? Yeah, but not all harvests are good. I don't know about you, but I want a bountiful, positive harvest. One that God has blessed. Looks like you agree that you want big, bright, and tasteful fruit, right? Yes. Well, Pastor O is about to give us some wisdom on how to plant and sow according to God's instructions so we can make that happen. If you're ready to hear all about that, then repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. All right. All right, digging the tape back there, ringing the bell like the fight getting ready to start. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Oh, wow. Yeah, if y'all like that, Eric gave it to me. No, I thought it up. But if y'all don't like that, then Eric gave that to me. Right. Amen. That's where ain't that way they gonna live? Amen. She taught me how to wear my mask this morning, too. Oh, now she done flipped up. Got it all the way up. I like the other way. You can breathe better. I like Lolo. I wear my mask like Lolo. Amen. Well, no, I like it like my brother, Reverend Overall, over here. He loves to wear his mask like that. Amen. Like Alice. You know, look at Alice. That's how you wear your mask. Amen. Where y'all get them clear ones from? The clear mask. I don't see her. Amen. I want a clear mask like Jayla's. You know, just keep your chin cool. Hey, man, Jay, like, ain't nobody infected my chin. Hey, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to them. We praise your name. Father, we don't mind, as Paul said in chapter 3, Philippians, he didn't mind saying rejoice. He didn't mind saying it again and again and again because we have something to rejoice about. Father, I want to personally thank you that this has been the most uneventful week I've had since 2003, since I started pastoring. And I want to thank you for all of the peace and all of the relaxing of my mind and all of that on the mountaintop with you, just hanging out like Jesus, you know, used to steal away to your Father. And now I know why you did that, because when you come back, you're all together refreshed. And I thank you for that, Lord. But Father, you have given me this word to preach today. And we're going to close out the book of Galatians. And you're going to let us know what it's all about and how we are to proceed going forward. In Jesus' name, bless his people so they hear it and get it. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord,
bless my ears
so they hear your word today.
And
then bless my heart so it receives your word today. And then bless my walk so it walks out your word every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to just hear it. We don't want to just get it. We actually want to walk it out. Yes. So you're never going to experience the power of God. Hey, Kathy, brother. Even though I know your name, now I still like calling you Kathy, brother. Amen. Amen. You'll never experience the power of God until you get into the power of God.
Okay.
His word is the power.
Yes. Yes, it is.
His word can part red seas.
All right.
And his word can make light appear. His word can do all the things Nicole was talking about, how God breathed into a lump of dust and it became a living soul.
Yes.
But unless and until we start doing what God said, we won't experience that power. We'll be saved and frustrated, saved and weak, saved and pretty much the same as we was when we got saved. Amen.
Amen.
But we talked last week, Paul's been talking to the Galatians, right? And in chapter 1, and you should have memorized this book by now. In chapter 1, Paul basically just introduces himself and lets them know the reason that he's writing to them. He's concerned. His concern is that somebody has crept in there and told them they need to do more than just believe in Jesus to be saved. So in chapter 1, he lets them know about his concern, and then he gives them his resume. He tells them, I didn't get it from them, from the Judaizers, from the folks in Jerusalem. I didn't even go to Jerusalem to get saved. I got saved as an enforcer on my way to Damascus to put some more Christians in jail. Maybe even put some to death, because he had been doing that. He was acting as an enforcer. Paul says, Jesus met me on my way to Damascus, and Jesus called me. I was watching Joel Osteen this morning. Instead of Tony Evans, I usually watch Tony Evans, but I got him on tape, so I'll probably do that this evening. But he was talking about God's sovereignty and how sovereign God is. And Paul said as an enforcer, he was on his way to jack some Christians, right? But what did the Lord do? Amen. In that same day, in that same hour that he was going to get some Christians, God turned him into one. Made him an offer he didn't want to refuse. I ain't going to say he couldn't, because he could have. But the Lord made him an offer he didn't want to refuse. This tells you something about Paul. That Paul was serious about his relationship with the Lord. Paul was one of those that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. When Jesus said, there will be those who kill you and think they're doing the will of God. Paul was one of those who was killing Christians, locking them up in jail, and really believe he was doing the will of God. And the Lord knew that he just wanted to serve him. So he gave him an opportunity and he took it. So Paul lets these folks in Galatia know, I didn't get what I got from the people in Jerusalem. I didn't need them to validate me. Amen. And Paul tells him in chapter 2, at the top of chapter 2, I did not come down here because somebody in Jerusalem called me, or I needed to go to Jerusalem to associate myself with those who were there the day of Pentecost so everybody would accept me. Paul got bold. Paul said, the only reason I went down there is because Jesus told me to. That's the only reason I went down there. So Paul in chapters 1 and 2, lets them know how he came to be in the position he's in and why they should listen to him and not believe that these Jews from Jerusalem, from James' church, the ultra-conservative church, James is called James the Just. Why? Because of his, amen, ultra-conservatism. He was a very, he was Jesus' brother, but he was an ultra-conservative Jew, and he held fast to Judaism. But because he had accepted Christ, he had to put it on the back burner. But how many of y'all know, just because we got saved, everything don't go away? Amen? So some of James' conservatism kept creeping out. Amen? Amen. So Paul says, look, I know y'all are used to them because they've been among you and around you in these Roman provinces now for years. Ever since the Old Testament, the intertestamental period, when all the folks in, all the Jews did not repatriate Jerusalem. Some stayed out in the Roman provinces and they built up synagogues. They also created political parties. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots, all of them came during the intertestamental period. You read about them in the New Testament, but you don't see no words about them in the Old Testament. So you ask yourself, where they come from? During this middle space, when they were out in them Roman provinces, they said, how do we serve God? So they started building places called synagogues, and they started appointing synagogue leaders. This was really a picture of the church that was coming, right? In the book of Acts, what did they do? They started forming house churches. We're going over Keeler House for church today. We're going over Crystal House. We're going to Ollie's House for church. So they had what's called house churches. Okay, they set those things up because now the Jews don't want them coming to the temple. Why? Because y'all talking about that Jesus that got crucified. You running around talking about he's been risen from the dead. And all I need to do is accept him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm saved. Amen. So Paul lets them know that these Jews or no other human being had anything to do with me. I went out into the, like me, I've been to some schools, but not for a degree. Okay? The Lord changed. The Lord took me. I'm a Peter. I'm not a Paul. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I skipped school on Gamaliel. Amen. When everybody else was in class, they had the truant officer looking out for me. Amen. I wasn't there. I went down on Saliette and started hanging out down there. Now watch this. God took me and made me a pastor. Just like he took Peter and made him an apostle. God got some folks who are going to be smart, and God got some folks who are not going to be world smart. Amen? But God going to make them smart. The Lord tells me all the time, the reason I picked you is because you don't know nothing. You're not churchy. You don't even know how they dress in church. When I went to church the first time, I had on a Nehru suit and some Earth shoes. Amen. Y'all remember them? Earth, yeah. That's how your boy was. And my sleeve, since I didn't care about suits, my sleeve was up here. Long before they turned Pee Wee Hermanish today, my suit was already up here. I didn't care. I was going to church. This is what church people wore. One lady named Martha Covington saw me sitting out there like that, up in the pulpit, once I started preaching our carmen. She said, don't get offended, but I need you to go somewhere with me. She took me out to Penny's and bought me some shoes and suit. Amen. One lady saw the pin that was holding the inside of my suit. I'm like, come on, mothers. Come on. Mother saw the pin holding the inside of the suit. Had it ripped out. I pinned it back in with safety pins. Somehow my suit coat flung open. She said, baby. Amen. So God got all kinds of people. He got smart people and me, not so smart people. Amen. But the Lord says, it's not you, it's me.
That's right.
Amen. I'm like Paul. I am what I am by the grace of God. I do what I do by the grace of God. I know what I know because the Lord taught me. Amen. Amen. The only smart person in Jesus' group was Judas. How'd that work out? The rest of them was ignorant, unlearned fishermen or something unlearned. That's me. Amen. The Lord tells me that all the time. You don't know nothing. That's why I picked you. you can't even decide to do something on your own because you don't know nothing to do but drag race, right? On that road runner tip, we got to talk. Uh-oh. Oh, that slipped out. But that's a whole other conversation. So Paul says in chapter 2, look, Jesus sent me down here. That's the only reason I'm meeting with y'all. Then he tells us about that little incident he had with Peter, right? Peter was down there. This is when Christians front, and we do it too. Okay, we're Christian all around Christians. We super Christian, but when we get around our unsaved friends and co-workers, how Christian are we? We cuss like they do. We lie like they do. Okay? No, Jesus wants you to be like the Hebrew boys. Alex and Jesus say, even though you're down there in Babylon with the heathens, I want you to still be down there with me. And so the Hebrew boys did not flip. They stayed the same. So Paul had to call Peter on that. Amen? You act one way in church, but you out here, it's a whole nother way. The saddest thing I ever heard was a child tell me when their parent was hollering, holy, 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 Jesus. All that good stuff in church, they do that, right? The child told me when I was saying, hey, go ahead and all that stuff, the child came up to me and told me, I want you to know it ain't like that at home. It ain't like that at home. That's church mama. Real mama at home ain't nothing like that. Amen. So, yeah, that's church mama. We all got that church thing we do. But on the inside, Jesus knows a whole lot of rottenness in there. We come up in here, we holler amen, we sing songs, we preach sermons, but Jesus knows what's up in here. That's what you want to get right. Amen. See, I'm not churchy. Why? Because even though church was all over my house, we didn't have to go if we didn't want to. And me and my brother Christmas sure didn't go. Amen. We was acting like they told us not to go. Amen. You know, it's like, oh, don't go. Oh, cool. We'll watch cartoons. But you couldn't go outside, though, till mama come back home from church. Amen. So Paul calls Peter on his hypocrisy. And we have to be careful, y'all. Don't switch up on Jesus.
Amen.
Don't switch up on Jesus because you're out there with them, with those folk you don't sit in church with. Amen. Stay the same. Jesus wants you to lift him up so you can draw them in.
Yes.
Look, let me tell you something. They ain't going to think less of you because you act like a Christian. They don't think you one of them real ones. That's what they call me. You one of them real ones. You don't act like them other ones. I don't even know what them other ones is, Lisa. I don't even know what that is. But they say, you don't act like them other ones. You one of them real ones. I don't even altogether know what that means, but I guess I ain't fake. I can't stand fake. And every time, see, Jesus had given me the gift to discern spirits. So when people come up to me and they fake, I know it. That's what the gift to discern the spirit is. Is this spirit telling me the truth or a lie? Is this from God or from the devil? I know the difference. I used to go off on people. Amen. They ain't what you think until one person said to me, how do you know what I'm thinking? And then I got scared than they would. Because I was like, how do I know what they're thinking? And that's when Jesus took me to Corinthians to teach me about the gifts that he gave out. And he said, you have the gift of discernment, but you have to stop going off on people. I didn't give you that gift so you could go off on people. I gave you that gift so you could know that they're lying, they're fake, and I need you to present the truth to them so they can come out of that fakeness, come away from those lies, and start living the truth. My wife will tell you, I do not switch up from place to place, from person to person. I am me in Mackinac. I am me in the grocery store. She always like, you. So I know I'm me. Amen. When that started happening, John, I know I'm me. Amen. I don't flip up. Because see, Leitris, Jesus loved me.
Amen.
Amen. And Sarah, he always telling me good stuff. And I be trying to tell him how crappy I am. He's like, yeah, I know that I died for that. But I'm talking about this stuff, the highlight reel.
Amen.
Like Dr. Tony Evans say, all God ever look at is the highlight reel, Carmen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus died for all our mess and all our stupidity. So what God looks at is what he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Lord, down there around verse 10, he says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I got scared. Because I thought, you mean I thought I was saved, Mary? I'm like, I got to go to judgment? I thought I passed judgment. I thought the Bible said there is no judgment or condemnation to those who are in Christ. We pass from judgment and death to life. But then I found out that's the reward seat.
Amen.
Yes, that's where you go for rewards. He said, we will be rewarded, amen, for the deeds that we did in this body, whether good or bad. So the bad is what? Wasted time, wasted mind. Just wasted time. Anything you, that Jesus didn't tell you to do or ordain you to do or call you to do is just wasted time, wasted mind. Some of us waste our whole day because we go on our jobs and don't do nothing for Jesus. We go on our jobs, try to stay away from all our coworkers and try to tell nobody about Christ. Don't want to even help somebody who's struggling to live for Christ on how to live for Christ. But that is your job. Everywhere you go, that is your job. That's what Jesus was sitting on your job. But Jesus, what you want me to do? Lift me up.
Amen.
Lift
Amen.
Me up, and I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen.
So he finished chapter 2, and he continues his argument in chapter 3 about how we're made right by simple faith in God. He continues that argument in chapter 4, how we're made right by simple faith in God. And he continues that argument in the first part of chapter 2. How we're made right with God. And then he talks about what I like to call the divine exchange. I am not the same Pastor O, okay, that Jesus called in 1975. In Philippians 1:6, it says the Lord is working on us. In Galatians chapter 2, down there with all that listing, I believe it starts at 22, and it starts listing all our sins. And every time that stuff get read, we cringe because we know that some of us have done that or we're currently doing that. And that makes us scared. And then we get really scared when we get to the verse that says, if you are practicing these things, let that person know, that Christian know, they won't inherit anything from God. And now we're scared to death thinking we're going to hell because we do some of this stuff. We used to do some of this stuff. We want to do some of this stuff. And now we're like, I'm going to hell. I thought I was saved, but I ain't. Well, yes, you are. What it means is you won't inherit, won't be accessing the power of God. The power of God won't be alive in your life. Why? Because you're dead Christian. Amen. What gives us life? What makes us alive? God's word gives us life. God's word makes us alive. So when we know it, when we receive it, and when we practice it, the power of God works in us. Let me give you an example. God told the children of Israel, your promise is on the other side of this Jordan River. Now they're going to need power from God to get across the Jordan River because it's that flood stage. And we've seen floods that tear down houses and drag them on down the river to a bridge and crush it into little pieces. And God is telling his people, if you want the blessing I got for you, it's on the other side. Now, how are they going to access the power of God to get across this Jordan River? You know how they're going to do it? The Lord said, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they step their foot in the river, the river's going to part for you. Now, if they want to access the power of God, if they want to see a flood-staged river part turn into a smooth road that a couple million people can just go across, well, guess what they got to do? First, they have to hear God's word. Then they got to receive God's word. Then they're going to have to step out on God's word. They literally going to have to step into danger. Why? Because God told them to. Don't step in the danger if the Lord ain't tell you to, or you finna go swimming. Amen. They're gonna have to call the Coast Guard to try to find you.
Amen.
But if you step out on God's word, you're gonna experience the power of God. They never would have experienced the power of God if they know what he said, accept what he said, then do what he said.
Amen.
James, I'm gonna preach that book in a minute. Amen. Lord willing, I'm still here in this world and got raptured, a personal rapture. Amen. James says, do not be a what? Hearer only. Don't be a hearer of the word of God only. And a whole lot of folks have a hearsay gospel. They come to church, they hear what their pastor say. They go to Bible class, they hear what their Bible class teacher say. But they never experience that power of God because they don't do it. God wants to have power in your personal, your family, your church, and your civic life. He wants you to walk in his power. My brother Richard be talking about that in his class all the time. He'd be cracking me up, Lolo. I'd be like, cause see, that some of that stuff he's exposing. I told him, Lord, I ain't saying that to people that think I'm crazy. So you go get my brother, who is crazy, and bring him up there. Amen. Don't y'all tell him he's crazy because he's crazy. Don't tell him I said, tell him John said he won't do nothing here. Amen. And then after you tell that lie, say 1 John 1:9. Amen. So if you want to experience the power of God, know what God said. Believe what God said. And God is not going to believe you believe him if you just read it. He ain't going to believe you. God is not going to believe you to say, Lord Jesus, I receive your word. Oh, he still ain't going to believe. He still ain't going to believe. But when the Lord see you put that foot in that flood stage river, then God know. Wasn't it when Abraham was on his way down with the knife, God said, now I know? It wasn't when he woke up that morning and said, praise the Lord. It wasn't when he started telling those folks, let's go and do what God told me to do. It wasn't when he said, stay here, me and the child gonna worship and come back to you. It wasn't until he put Isaac up on that offering, up on those sticks. And it wasn't until he was on his way down with that homemade regular knife that God said, now I know. Amen. So if you think God know how you feel about him, but you won't even read the Bible. You don't know. If you think God believe you love him, but you don't love other people like he loves you, then he don't know. God won't know till he see you do it. And let's see, we can fake each other, but you can't fake him. He know if you hate people. He knows that. You can't hide that from him. And everywhere Jesus told us to love one another as he has loved us, he didn't say you could hate people secretly. No, he's looking for you to love people like he loved you. If you can come up with reasons why you shouldn't love them, well, guess what? Jesus got some reasons why he shouldn't love you. Jesus got some reasons why he shouldn't even wake you up in the morning. If Jesus said, everybody this week who attempted to lead 5 people to Christ can stay alive, how many people would die this morning? But we love the Lord, don't we? Heard our cry. Saved our soul, fitted for the sky. You can say that, but do you really know that? Or better yet, does Jesus know that? When you say amen, does Jesus really believe you saying so be it according to the Lord's word? Because that's what that means. If you say amen, but you don't do it, amen, you can just say that. Amen. You can say that. I live in front of Jesus. I love y'all. Amen. And I love it when people get on Blog Talk and say these things about me. I like hearing that stuff. I'm human, right? But I don't really rejoice until I hear what Jesus. When I get through today, I am going to go home. I'm going to get in the basement. And I'm going to wait to see what the Lord thought about not just my sermon, but the whole service today. He will tell me if he accept the praise team. He will tell me if he accept the prayers that were prayed. He will tell me if we had done altar call, did he? He will also tell me who took the cup and wasn't worthy. Oh yeah, being a pastor, you have no idea what I go through being a pastor. That's why I thanked him for this week. It was uneventful. My week, Sheila will tell you, they are not uneventful. I get attacked by people who ain't even their pastor. I get attacked by people who I am their pastor. And I don't hang out with nobody. Raise your hand if in the last 10 years you spent 1 hour with me one-on-one. Raise your hand. One-on-one, just me and you, nobody else. We talking. And yet people mouth. No, one-on-one, in person, us talking. You hung with me for a whole hour, one-on-one, just you and I, and we talking. And yet, every day, Jesus comes to me talking about what people are saying about me. And I keep asking Jesus, how do they know about me?
Right.
They're not around me. They only see me on Sunday for an hour and a half. And yet they know me? That's not true. They're living a lie. Don't nobody, can't nobody in here tell you all about me except Sheila. Sharon would tell you some stuff. She can tell you a lot of stuff because that's my counselor. She get to hear everything. She get to hear what y'all will never hear. She asks you sometimes, oh, bye. That's how she get off the phone. She don't make up stories like, oh, shoot, Jesus coming, I got to go. She don't make up stories. She says, bye. Learn to live in front of Jesus. Forget about people, your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're just as whack as you are. Okay, I wish I would try to. Anyway, moving on. No, seriously, I wish I would try to impress one of y'all. I ain't going to waste the energy. Because you, I hate to tell you this, but you ain't Jesus. You can say anything you want about me. It means nothing. It means nothing. It might mean something to you, but to me it means nothing. I only listen to him. My deal with Jesus was this. I want you to do this church. I told him, no, I ain't doing that because you'll kill me because I'll mess it up and then I'll be slayed like the rest of them people who got slayed. I'll be like Hopney and Phineas, throw up. So no. So after 6 months, I said yes. Here was our deal. Jesus, no parables, no riddles, no make me figure out nothing. Just tell me straight up what you want me to do. If you want the trash out, don't say there was a little boy named Tiny. And he's just, you know, none of that. Just say, take the trash out. And I will do that. And that's the way we work. I don't always understand or agree with. Like, I don't agree with virtual Bible classes. I don't. And Sharon had told me in counsel that the Lord want me to, that I asked her, what should we do? Because Bible class was just dwindling. Wasn't nobody coming out. And so the Lord says, take it to Blog Talk Radio. They'll do that. And so I go to Sharon. I know y'all like, well, why don't you believe the Lord? So I go to Sharon, and I say, what should I do? And she's like, about what? And I'm like, the Bible class. And then she'll say, I don't know. And so I said to her, the Lord say we should go to like the Blog Talk Radio, and just move it over there, or should I hold out in the church till people come out? And she said, well, here's what you do, because we was going to try it till spring, because it was winter, and people didn't want to come out in the dark. So she said, let's do that. Well, I ignored her and the Lord, and we came back out. It was me, Jonathan, wait a minute, Ray? My man, what's up? He like, see, that's why I don't come out. But anyway, it was me, Jonathan, and Sheila. And then the next week, we went to Blog Talk. And the people who had skipped out, skipped right back in. And they brought some people with them. Amen. We've been able to reach out and touch over 130,000 people with them classes. Now, I had to conform. God's doing a new thing. Amen. Amen. So anyway, stay away from fakeness. Be real. All we need to do to be saved, to be made right with God, is simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Paul started talking to them about exchanging your old ways for some new ways. Now, you don't have to wonder which new way God wants us to live. He wrote it right in there. He wants to exchange all our mess. Go read Galatians chapter 5 when you get a chance and read all the stuff we do. He wants to exchange that for 9 things. More things than that. But over here, he lists 9 things. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, right? These are the things that he wants to replace our mess with. Because love overcomes a multitude of what? Okay. And joy is something that you get to keep even when troubles start. And peace is something that you get to have, that unsurpassing peace that surpasses all understanding when you trust God, right? So this is what the Lord wants to exchange in us. All that other stuff we read about is a nightmare to us, and we know it. We know it. We don't even like that stuff. So Paul says, start following the Holy Spirit. He says, if you follow after the Holy Spirit, that means if you learn the new way God wants us to live and allow the Holy Spirit to work that out in you. But guess what? You are not going to have love unless you let Jesus love through you. Because he's not talking about our love. Our love is always with reasons. I'll love you as long as. I'll love you until I loan you 20 and you don't pay me back and I don't love you no more. Especially if I see you in the store and you spend way over $20 and I'm standing here like, whoa, what's up? And you turn around and say, hey, Pastor, what's happening? But don't even mention my money. Get more than $20 back in change. Still ain't getting my 20. I don't love you no more. You are not going to have joy. Joy is what you want. Because joy, happiness, let that be a result of joy. Because happiness is like a crappy friend. Happiness is there until you need it. Okay, you woke up this morning. You was all happy. You was praising the Lord. Came outside, you got four flats. Happiness was gone before you saw the four flats. Four flats. Because see, happiness just want to be happy. Happiness don't want to be sad. Happiness don't want to be in no Philippian jail, tore up from the floor, singing praises to God. That ain't what happy do. Happy is only happy when something happy is happening. But joy, Jesus want to give us joy.
Yes.
When life start crapping all the way out and you can't do nothing about it. You seem like Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail. We think they was fake, but they was real. They had joy. They had what God gave them. They figured out what the divine exchange was all about. He exchanged all that mess and gave me joy in hard times. And guess what? When we have joy in hard times, people around us see Jesus lifted up. Why do I say that? Because the Bible records that when they heard Paul and Silas singing, and then the Lord showed up and showed out and tore up the jail, but didn't kill none of them. It says all of them came to faith. Why? Because of what they heard Paul and Silas singing. They all got saved. And it didn't stop there. The warden who had them locked up, well, guess what? He came running to them and knelt down in front of them. And they lifted him up, of course, because they don't roll like that. And said, what must I do to be saved? And then Titus steps up and says, well, dude, Silas or whatever his name was, stepped up and said, you and your whole household can be saved. How? Just believe in Jesus. And the divine exchange has started right there. The moment you got saved, Jesus started working on you. Now, like he told me back in the day, Ed, he like, look, dude. That's the way he said it, because I was really messing up. He's like, look, we gonna do this. We can do it the hard way, or we can do it the easy way. My wife's grandmother came right behind the Holy Ghost talking about Reverend L. Ross saying, like, you like to learn everything the hard way. You talk right and walk left. See, you can tell, see Jeffrey, you can tell she was a real Christian. Why? Because she didn't say that behind my back. She said it right to my face. And then walked off to church and I skipped. But anyway, praise God. We went to the zoo. We're scared to come home. Grown folks, scared to come home. It was Sheila's idea. But anyway, praise the Lord. Okay, it wasn't her idea. I ain't gonna lie to her. But we both went. Praise the Lord. She was following her husband. See how Jesus keep blaming me? Amen. That's right. Amen. We won. So she get blamed in this too. One time we was at the drag strip skipping church. And she agreed to go. We was at the drag strip, John. You know how long them races take, right? So we finally get to the end, go see the finals. Guess what happened? A thunderstorm just came out of nowhere and just started raining and ended the race. Now we got to ride back home down Plank Road. And there ain't nothing out there but country. We seeing lightning blow up trees, Nicole. And I'm like, see, Lord, you get me into this. Then after we got near Telegraph, because we went that way, down toward Monroe, it was sunshining again. So y'all know I wanted to go back to the track, right? See if they didn't drag it off, finish the race. But we went home, praise the Lord. So Paul says, make the divine exchange. And then we come to the end of the book in chapter 6. This is where Paul wants them to understand. I just told you about love, joy, peace, patience, and all of that. You made right with Christ by simple faith in Christ. I told you you need to live for Christ. But guess what? Sometimes you're going to mess that up. You're going to mess that up. And those are the first two verses that June read. Paul wants us to not get our butts all up on our shoulders, not to get so holy that we can run around pointing out other people's sins and condemning other people based off the way we think they live. If you'd have heard Joel Osteen this morning, you would have heard him talk about his father and his whole family. Wasn't none of them saved. They was all straight pagan, generation after generation after generation. His father, though, I think he was, 17 or after something. Anyway, his father decided, I'm changing this. And he got with one of his friends, and he went to church that next day. His father gave his life to Jesus. The end result is Lakewood Church. That is where God started. He starts with us right where we are, and then he brings us out. So when I look at y'all, I don't care, even if I know how you live and what's foul in your life, I don't care about that. I am still looking at, see, when Jesus said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And then he says, I sanctified you, set you apart. And then he says, I ordained you. That means to be something for him. And so I'm looking for that something that Jesus made you. I can see the mess. If I want to see mess, that is not hard. You hang with somebody 10 minutes and they're going to crap out. They're going to say something crazy and cuss and say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. Amen. They're going to crap out. It's easy to see wrong. But can you see why God chose Marissa? Why did God choose Marissa? Amen. Why God got Micah? Why does he have Maya? See, it's easy to name them. They all got an M name. You don't even have to point out. Just say the name. Amen. Why God called Ed? So I'm not looking for Ed's mess ups. I'm looking for the reason God called him. There's something that the Lord ordained him to do. There's something that the Lord called him to do. Why he called Mary? There's something that the Lord planted in Mary. I'm looking for that. If I want to see sin, I'll see sin. So the Bible tells us, I might need a couple minutes here to finish this out. The Bible tells us when we see a brother or sister overtaken in a sin, those of us who are not currently sinning and falling, currently standing up for Jesus and walking right at this time, because tomorrow could be me, he says two things. Go and think what? Talk about him. Restore. First thing, restore. So when you see somebody caught in sin, not something we call sin. There's a lot of things that we call sin that falls into Romans 14. Those are disputable matters. You think it's wrong, I think it's right. And there's a lot of things in life that we call sin that are not called sin by God. God called sin out. It's in the Bible. He told us what to do and what not to do and how to treat each other. So we don't have to worry about what is a sin. When we read the Bible, God has already told us what a sin is. So just because, like for instance, I was at the drag strip, girl walked up talking about, man, no, Raleigh, is that you? Like it's a sin for me to be drag racing. Show me where the Bible says, thou shalt not hype up thy car and put thy pedal to the floor and drag race. That's how he was saying, right, King James English? He ain't saying none of that. That ain't even written. So it falls into Romans chapter 13, a disputable matter. You say it's wrong, I say it's right. And hey, wait a minute. What you doing out here? Right. Ain't it funny how somebody can see you in the casino and say, what you doing here? Me and Sheila went to get something to eat. I love to get through eating and walk around the casino with fake Christians who doing something they don't even believe in. Okay, I walk up on them. One lady was shook so bad. I thought she was going to fall. She said, Reverend Overall, is that you? I'm like, the show is. That's right. This one lady did us like this, Nicole. You right there, right? I see you. She. should never come in here. If you believe this is that wrong, you should never come. Why? Because you, in Romans chapter 14, it tells us whatever is not by faith is what? Sin. In other words, you're violating your own conscience. You believe it's wrong, but you're doing it.
Right.
You're not even in faith. You're in fake. So Paul says, when you see somebody overtaken in a sin, those of who are spiritual, first restore. And second what? Gently. Gently. And he says gently, be considering yourself. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, it could be me. That's the way I look at it. See, Jesus didn't find me in church and say, I am calling you to preach. Thou shalt preach. No, he called me on the way selling dope. I was on my way to the corner to sell some weed and some mescaline and some THC. That's when he called me. So when I see people, I've never met a Christian worse than me. So I can't look down on nobody. How many of y'all sold dope? How many of y'all had 7 pounds in your mama's house? How many of y'all had 2.5 pounds of cocaine with thousands of dollars worth of packed up packages in your mama's house? Mama gone now, so I... If they come back, though. Oh, yeah, now that my brother, right? No, no, no redos. Amen. Okay? But that was me. So how many of y'all got 3 girls pregnant, gave them a baby, they got a baby, and then you said, I can't have babies? How many of y'all told the next girl, I can't have, oh, that's really tying up, huh? How do you tell 3 different girls you can't have a baby, and then end up having 5 of them? You got it? Clear? So Paul says, when we see somebody overtaken in the sin, think restore, and how? Gently. Why? Because Jesus died for them, and he wants them back. And we should consider ourselves that we ain't no better than them. The same thing they're in, we could be in. And then here's another thing he says, is that start looking at yourself and stop paying attention to somebody else. Then you won't have to measure yourself by somebody else. The somebody I look at is Jesus. I do not look at my brothers and sisters in Christ and want to be like one of them. My goal is to be like Jesus. That is the goal of Ephesians chapter 4, is to be like Jesus. Amen? So when we see somebody like that, we should bear one another's burdens. We should want to help them up. Who looks at somebody who's falling on the ground and just start laughing? Well, okay, on TikTok, yeah. But on TikTok, yeah. Right? Okay, everybody in the corner got time. Anyway, this is the book of Galatians. The end is that the Lord just wants us to love one another, to know that we are saved, simply because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him won't perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So that's our goal, right?
Yeah.
God is taking out of this world a people for himself, and he wants us to help him do that.
Yeah.
Amen? So we can't look at people when they walk and be disgusted with them. What we should do is see where they are, and look at the map, see where they're going, and help them to get there. You are here. Jesus wants you in heaven. The ultimate goal is heaven. So if you're here on the earth, the goal has not been reached yet. He's still working on you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray.
Yeah.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today, and we do praise your name. We thank you for this word that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that it is simple faith that saves us. And yes, Lord, we have an obligation to live for you. But you're the one who's going to produce those things in us. Father, we can plant seeds, and you said we should water. But you admonished us to know that only you can give increase. So, Lord, I have planted seeds with the book of Galatians. I have watered this, your people. I'm looking to you, Jesus, to give the increase that's going to come for them.
Yes, thank you.
because you planned their life before they were born. You knew Melanie would be singing in this church. You knew Melanie would have that angelic voice that, Jesus, I wish I had. But then I'd be sounding like a girl. But anyways, he's only man style. But you knew she would be here. You knew that all. Everybody who's sitting here, you knew they would be here today. They're not here by mistake. Before they were even born, you saw this day. And I know, Lord, that you have a work for each and every one of them to do because they are all members of the body of Christ. So you got work for them to do. You have a part for them to play, just like each body part plays its part in these bodies that you gave us. So I'm praying, Heavenly Father, that the book of Galatians would settle down into their hearts and they would learn to memorize what you said from chapter 1 to chapter whatever, so that on every occasion they are able to give an account of the hope that's in them through Christ Jesus. Bless people, Lord. I know you will, so I say thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to be going into the book of James, so you might want to go home and read the 5 chapters, and then you'll be familiar with what I'm going to preach about. Well, look at your neighbor and say, well.
Morning, afternoon. Enjoy the 60 degree weather because we got snow coming tomorrow. I just live here. I just live in Michigan. Don't be acting like y'all weren't born and raised in Michigan. You know, we had 3 seasons in 1 day. Okay, so I got a lot, so sorry y'all, I got a lot to go over. Please reach out to Anita Chambers. She lost her dad. If you don't have her contact information, is it okay to reach out to Sheila? Reach out to Sheila, get her contact information, or Lisa. Please and pray for our. Sheila's already sent cards from us, but it always helps. Even if you don't call or just do that text to them, let them know that you're supporting them and you with them. Losing a parent. Some of us know it's so hard, and it's just the grief is just is long and it's strong. So also, Mother Irma, she's still in the hospital, and you know the day is time. They don't keep you in the hospital unless you know they want to put you out. So you know, just pray for her, and you know, pray for her that we can. You know. Oh, they moved her. So we got an update. So she where now? She at the nurse. Okay. On Allen Road. Somebody pointed. Somebody
got it from her.
Okay. We got it from her. And thank you for that, because as we know in our community, we used to didn't see this, but it's so prevalent. I don't know if it's because of the COVID or what's going on, but what's going on in our world and people not knowing our Savior. But yes, please, if you know somebody in your family, reach out to them and see if they can get that, you know, offer the help or the assistance. But if nothing, say them prayers for them. Say the prayers for them. Yes. Don't forget, Janice, too, her girls and the daycare, her goal. Janice, what's your goal for the daycare?
It's $150 a week, but we want to start with once a month being able to give $150 or more.
So $150, so to help mothers, and we know how expensive everything gets. We know it's tight on everybody, But, you know, we know daycare and stuff is expensive. And people who trying to go to work, if you can't jump and do 5 or 10, you spend that at McDonald's at a meal, like $7, $8, $9 probably, like, 10, you know. So think about that, about, you know, helping a parent that needs that assistance, okay? Also, Jonathan Book, Pastor Book, cat show today at 4 p.m., it's April's coming close, the free credit report thing. We got Nicole here. We got her here. That's going to end in April. They're giving it. You can check it every week. If you don't know the site to go to where you can pull all three, because I'm going to tell you, pull all three, because they all have different information, especially TransUnion. They'll have information different from the other two. But if you don't know where to go, talk to Nicole, talk to me. We can give you the sites. And if you need help reviewing it or doing a dispute, you can just dispute online now. It's important to get your credit together. As Pastor always preached to us, for us to be on our 10, 10, 30, 50 journey. You need to know your bottom line. And if you don't know your bottom line, Pastor always say, how are you going to tie it properly if you don't know your bottom line? He wants you to be able to tie it according to how the Bible tells us, tell you to tie it. Because like he said, running for Christ can't, we're not going to be able to pay your bills. So you get your bills in order, know that, get your credit report, get that 10, 10, 30, 50 program going, and let's move forward. Okay. And it was so good to see her. She was in church last Sunday. So that was, she said, Nakia called her this morning and said Doris was rushed to emergency. And they were in church last Sunday. So definitely keep them prayers and call Nakia or, you know, text her, give her, and let her know about our support. All righty. I think I'm at the back table. Nicole is going to be teaching. So questions are on the back table and online. So make sure you join us Wednesday at 6 o'clock. For a Bible class, it's upper room books on the back table also. And I wanted to, Wayne Metro has a, they're working with, it's a Detroit refinery contribution of $40,000 investment in a program to help focus on a wraparound economic and social service residency for people that live in the 48217. So if you're interested in that, you can go to the Wayne Metro site. You can look for them. They have a lot of programs. Wayne Metro helps you with a lot of stuff. Like if you have to get your piping, like the plumbing redone in your home, anything like with rent and everything, just go to their site, and plus they're hiring. So go out to their site. Or like I say, stop me after church and I'll give you more information on it. I'm going to make Crystal stand up right now and repeat that loud.
Okay, so normally when you're getting assistance from Wayne Metro, Salvation Army, FAR, things like that, they will ask you to go to DHS first to get a denial notice. So make sure, there's a lot of things that we at DHS we just don't pay for. But the help that you can get from Wayne Metro and all those places, if you need assistance, you can always apply with DHS first to get that denial notice. And then take that to these other agencies,
so
that's going to be required.
Okay. Okay. So, on to school. I don't know if you heard it, like, I think it's UD Mercy, if you're interested in nursing. They have an accelerated program now, 18 months for you to come out with your nursing degree. And that's huge. And this is an accredited university, so that's nursing. That's the school my sister went to, so, hey, so you could talk to her about it. She had to do her time, though, on 18 months.
Just remind them if they need help with applications and stuff, you and I, we can do that.
Applications, filling out anything for applications. If you want us to look over your resumes, you need help with a cover letter, there's plenty of stuff online. But if you don't feel comfortable, you want me or June to do it, just call. Just let us know. So there's a couple free programs that DAPSAT is giving away free with Ford Motor Company. So if you are in 11th grade and you're interested in coding and computer science, DAPSET is partnering with Ford Motor Company for a free program. So you have to register. They're going to keep registration open until March 28th. So if you're interested in that, you go to DAPSET, D-A-P-C-E-P site, or see me. I'll give you that information, and you can register to sign up for that. Also, Ford is also doing, what else are they doing with DAPSET? One moment. Oh, I want to do this. DAPSET also posted there's a $100,000 scholarship through Michigan Chronicle and Huntington National Bank. So you can go to, when you go on their site, you'll see that information about that. It's another program, and it's list these two programs. And while I'm looking for this, also a reminder, they still posted, the Big Three is still looking for employees. The big thing with the Big Three is, you have to be on time. You can get hired in, but the folks not coming to work on time. And they fire you. You have to be on time. They will fire you, cut you, let you go. So, and they're hiring any people bad. And once again, union, get paid every week. And I know a lot of young people don't understand how important the union is, but the union is very important. It's not perfect, but it's at will call where they can fire you, walk in. They can't do that with a union. And your benefits is not going to cost you three payments like it cost y'all. So look into that. So like I said, the Big Three is hiring. And then also, Wayne State Math Corps is starting, and their registration is going to be into March. And their program for this summer is going to be free also. So, and that's from for sixth graders to 12th graders. And I'm trying to find this last program with Ford. I'm sorry, you guys. I know we want to get out of here and enjoy the day. The next one is if you're interested in music or anything like that, also DAPSET is doing a program with the Auto Engineers of Detroit. So go to their site. Registration is open now. And this will be an in-person class. So I think that's about it. And just remember, this is the season for summer internships. Everybody's hiring. Everybody's cramming for our college students. So whatever field you're looking in, look into. And also check out Marathon. They're in our community, and they have a lot of internships and scholarships. And the birthday list, Jonathan's birthday was on the 1st. Happy birthday, Jonathan. Alana gonna be legal, 21 tomorrow. And Micaiah gonna be 20 on the 11th. Amira gonna be 18, you pay taxes. 18 tomorrow, you pay taxes. Daylin is on the 8th. James McClendon on the 10th. Auntie June on the 22nd. And that's all Crystal got on her list. So happy birthday, everybody, for the March. Oh, Derek's on the 17th. Ooh, Lord, y'all was busy. It's a bunch of babies born in this month. Thank you.
Okay, so everybody listen real fast.
I was going to do it for you.
My Auntie Janet's gonna do it good, thank you.
You already know she already on the praise team because you can't have a gift and not share it. But her uncle back there told her that she still hadn't come forward as a member officially of this church. So at this time, you know this running for Christ, we don't vote folks into the kingdom. So we welcome, do we agree to welcome? And to show how valuable she is, these shirts are courtesy of her.
Yes.
And as you continue all those birthdays and everything, remember our college students that are on vacation, some on spring break right now, and then the other ones.
Eating up all our food.
Also remember, in praying for Nita, that is Lisa's uncle as well, and Quaniah's grandfather. So don't forget, when you're praying for the whole family. Don't just pray for, and there's a lot to be prayed for. As you're standing to your feet, See, TJ back there is already ready to sing out. Yes, we've got the old standard back today, so the kids are happy. Our purpose. That's the best witness you have. Your life lives representing Jesus Christ. All day, every day, everywhere you go. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Y'all see this, don't you?
Yeah.
Look at all these little people. I'm just saying this. The harvest is ripe. Pray to the Lord to send laborers into the harvest so we can raise these up. And it starts with them coming up and just standing here so they're comfortable with it. Let's your here's your benediction. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. All God's people say,
amen.
Oh, man.
It was rough.
It was rough.
It was rough.